A stronger Gundam?
That's fair.
Tank treads.
We're here to talk about stronger Gundams and My Hero Academia. Welcome.
Presumably.
Eventually, when we feel like it.
Why aren't there any Gundams in My Hero?
I mean, Ida's basically a Gundam.
I was just getting ready to say.
There is a Gundam, and Deku took it out during the entrance exam.
That's true, yeah. You're right. Deku did deck that Gundam right in the face.
Well, I mean, was there a human pilot? Because I feel like Gundams always have a human pilot, right? They are vehicles, not robots.
It's true.
Gundams almost universally have a pilot. You're
okay.
Right.
That was an unmanned drone.
Yeah. And some of the mecha in Gundam don't, but...
Gotcha. Of course, other than the English dub of Gundam Wing, where they famously, it's a Gundam! Is Gundam the actual name of the giant... robot suits?
Gundam is always the name of the epitomous, you know, blue, white. Red, and white Gundam. Like, it's the main star. Although, you know, Gundam Wing then had five Gundams that were all different types because, you know, they needed something to match their boy band cast.
Alternate universe and all
that. If I remember right, in the best one, Zero, they're just doing, like, a test thing, and then another robot that looks exactly like all the other ones show up, and they go, what's that? It's a Gundam.
Turns out.
I mean, just making sure, because, like, there is no, as far as I know, there are Evas, but there is no Neon Genesis Evangelion in Neon Genesis Evangelion.
That is not the name of the unit.
Yeah.
I love the fact that Neon Genesis Evangelion isn't even the actual Japanese name. It's just an English translation.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
We're here to learn things.
Yeah, and talk about My Hero Academia. We're not avoiding this one. There's stuff to talk about.
There is. Good. For example, in episode 57, the 100 remaining students struggle to adapt to the new challenge of performing rescue operations as Gravity Girl struggles with her feelings for Deku Scrub. Just as things appear to be under control, Gang Orca attacks with a squad of mock villains. In the next phase of the test, the students must continue to rescue the civilians while holding off the villains.
Organized crime!
That's pretty good. Solid.
They're holding that one in for too long.
I do love that in-universe they have a list of at least top five heroes who look like villains.
What surprises me is Gang Orca's number three. That's two above them.
I need to know what the most villainous-looking hero is.
That's the thing. There's probably some, like, scrub level, like, third tier hero out there that you haven't heard of who just happens to be, like, super disfigured.
I'm assuming once he becomes a pro, Shadow Bird guy will hit that list.
Yo,
somewhere.
Yeah.
I bet you Endeavor's in that top 10, too.
Ooh. Okay, yeah. Endeavor can
top
look like
10,
a guy.
Yeah. I don't know that he beats Gang Orca.
Nah, I wouldn't put him above Gang Orca. He doesn't look that villainous.
Yeah, he just looks intimidating. Yeah. He looks like an asshole. He doesn't look evil.
Yeah, I think I would put the Crow guy above both of them.
I would definitely put it above Endeavor. Gang Orca looks pretty bad.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like a villain.
Gang Orca's got one of my favorite designs. I just love everything about him, and now he's... So this is what I was talking about in the opening, by the way. In the opening,
I saw Gang Orca in the opening while I was like watching this episode, and like I was like, oh yeah, Scott said, who haven't we seen in the intro? We haven't seen Gang... Oh, no.
Yep. So I'm so happy Orca Daddy's here, and he's going to cause trouble. Besides that, though, so now you know why I was laughing at you guys last week. I was like, oh, wow, you guys are running wild with these interpretations.
We're running right around what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was like, I mean, there's a reason why I didn't predict this specific scenario, just because it is the most straight ahead, obvious, like, oh, they've got paid actors playing civilians. Mm-hmm. They've also got paid actors playing the part villains. Of villains, or I suppose not actors, presumably they can actually fight.
Yeah.
But we don't really get a good look at who all's in the crew other than Gang Orca himself.
You
go ahead.
I found it really interesting because they cut out a shot that actually introduces you to the actors in the manga.
Ah.
Yeah, here they're like, nope, we're going right into, like, this is the scenario. And I think that's better. I remember, like, wondering why they did that in the manga, why they even bothered to show off the actors beforehand. And so here, you're just thrown into it and like, yep, nope, it's a bunch of actors, and they're the ones who are scoring you.
I love that they get introduced as though they were the villains. Like, they get that little, like, smirk, like, oh, what? Wait, what?
Yeah.
I really liked the presentation of this episode. Like, kind of, like, just from as soon as the test itself starts, I really like that. Immediately, Deku and friends are put on blast for how bad of a job they're doing. Like he's like, all right, we should stick together again. Let's run up. What's going on? Wow, I think I'm hurt. Oh no, this is bad. Where's someone else? I'm just like, you can't just say that to someone who's been through trauma. You can't be like, can you help? Like, you need to be the guy who's just showing up and making everything okay. That's part of your job is not just fighting super bad guys. It's making sure us normal folk feel like everything's going to be all right. And I was like, that's real important and something that they haven't really touched on. I'm glad they took this direction.
I will say that it's a little bit of suspension of disbelief because if you're taking a driving test, typically your instructor isn't giving you pointers while you're taking the test.
Yeah.
That said, it's so much fun that I'm more than willing to forgive
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a matter of making sure that they at least try to get them on track because by the end of this, what they need to do is just, you know, not have too many points taken off. And so I think they're trying to make sure, like, hey, we're already putting you through the ringer. Do the right thing here. Like, do what you're supposed to do. Because I'm pretty sure they don't want all of these kids to fail.
And on top of that, they act like this is harder than the test normally is. They're like, with all the stuff with Stain and the disappearance of All Might, no one was really prepared for how hard we're going to make this test. So that's probably why they're going to add a little bit of leeway with, you know, you should be doing this. Oh, okay. Maybe I can recover those points or the points I lost will be, you know, negligible by the end or something.
Yeah, you do also get the impression that at the very least, Class 1A, with all the shit that's happened to them, the normal course of their education has been disrupted a bit.
Yeah.
Like, normally they wouldn't even be taking this test yet, and maybe that's why they seem to be entirely out of their element.
Yeah.
Maybe that's usually, like, a second-year curriculum thing. Like, hey, here's how to assist someone in a rescue situation.
Here's how situations work.
It's a pretty crazy... It's a crazy test, and again, we're now getting into, like, the craziest part of it. Gang Orca has showed up. They're still trying to get enough people to pass. And, the next two episodes are going to be, like, a lot of fun.
Well, the next episode, just to throw this in there.
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah.
Next week's episode is actually a theme episode for, like, something. I don't know if it's, like, just the station or something. But every episode that week has to do with the theme of love. So it's actually, like, a non-canon skip-away episode where we tell another quick tale in the time of an episode.
Yeah, so. I'm wondering if it's even going to be on Verve.
I guess we'll see.
The preview thing for it showed up on I Watch Mine on Hulu, and it showed up there. All so right. I'm assuming if it showed the preview for it, that they'll still do it.
Yeah, ditto on Crunchyroll. So one can assume, and I'm going to throw this out there, just a point of order. We tend to hold up these cards every week like they mean anything. Can we just agree that no matter what, much like the recap episode at the beginning of the season, no matter what we hold up next week, guess what? We're going to continue with the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this show would have to get three knives at least two times in a row to even have us consider, like, this is garbage. We're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, it would have to be getting knives, and the reason we're knifing it is, like, everything they're setting up sounds terrible.
Yeah. And definitely not for a one-off filler episode that we know is filler. That's not going to get a knife from us. This is shonen.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We should be able to hold up knives, and that's more of a, hey, should you watch this one or skip this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, even if we all three say, hey, this episode's disposable, skip it, knife, like, we'll still come back next week.
Watch Fire Academia. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
Just in case. Spoilers.
So...
I also like that once they start realizing how this test works, I think it was really good because I feel like in the first test, Deku was like basically telling everyone like, hey, we should stick together because this is what's going to work out best. This is how it's going to go. We never get a chance to see like the rest of the group kind of thinking for themselves until they really have to when they're split up. I liked that during this one, everyone kind of reaches their own conclusion of like, maybe smaller groups work better for this test. We can go around and be more focused on what we're good at, and we can work as, you know, smaller cells instead of sticking together as a whole class. And then I think Ida eventually brings up, also, our job is to rescue people. You should communicate with other schools the second you get the chance to, if it will help. And I think that's just really good, because this whole test has felt like it's just all competition, and this felt like a very good, hey, we're all coming together, we've all got to get through this as a team. In the end, we're all fighting on the same side.
Yeah.
So let's put these petty you're not in my school problems behind us.
Yeah. Unlike the first round, if there's any like, well, we've got to cut this many people type of rule, they have not mentioned it.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, all 100 could pass this round.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do like I really do appreciate the fact that it puts a precedence on this is us working together. This is a rescue mission, not, you know, fighting. So whatever you do, work as well as you can with other people. That's going to be the thing that actually, you know, passes you.
Yeah, it's also cool to see some application of powers for non-combat reasons,
yeah.
Like tape guy, like shoring up some crumbling debris to get some people out from under. Like, oh yeah, turns out there's all kinds of shit to do besides punching guys real hard.
Yeah, it turns out fighting isn't everything in these guys' jobs. I did really like, and I wasn't sure what direction they were going to take it, but the scene with Bakugo where he shows up and there's like the two people in the crater like, oh no, help us, we're hurt. He's like, shut up and save yourselves. Like, could he piece together just at a glance that we were low priority rescues and we need to be like kind of left to our own devices? Did he figure that out? Is he that smart? Well, his tone still sucked.
You know, and that's, I wholeheartedly believe that, yes, he was able to piece together, like, you don't need my help, get moving. But yeah, I like the fact that they're like, well, you're still an asshole, so.
Yeah.
You made the right assessment, but you could have done it nicer.
Yeah, I don't see Bakugo intentionally shooting himself in the foot by refusing to rescue people that he would presumably be getting points for rescuing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
I was just ready to see, like, is this where he's going to finally hit that wall of, like, no, you have to present yourself like a hero and make people feel good. And was it just going to be an awkward scene of him being like, please, in an orderly fashion? But I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes, especially with Gang Orca showing up. That's a good twist. That's a good, hey, let's throw a modifier on this test you think you've got figured out.
Yeah, yeah. I think we got as much as we're going to get out of, hey, let's rescue guys.
Yeah.
It does raise some questions. Like, so we never see a lot of their... We never see a lot of their day-to-day school life.
Mm-hmm.
And while getting too granular with that isn't something I'm necessarily all that interested in because...
Dorm room decorating!
Yeah. That I love. That was... You,
that was a personality.
Yeah, you may look like that, but that episode was actually a fucking...
Yeah, wonder. I like that episode fine. I'm just goofing.
But I also don't need to know, like, their day-to-day, what they're learning. But it feels a little bit weird to me because I understand that, oh, yeah, no, they've been so busy fighting and so busy learning their powers. But we know that they have some day-to-day. Where's the, like... I guess ultimately their day-to-day must be a lot of... learning regular school stuff, because it's not like they can just stop learning math, science, and that shit. But I am a little bit surprised that there wasn't a little bit more time spent on how to properly rescue people, how to talk to victims and stuff.
Yeah, could just be a second year thing
in
the curriculum. Could be something that they just haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah, maybe. A lot of the other schools have got it, like, had it down visibly more than class A.
On top of that, they've also had to deal with so many crises kind of in a row that's probably taken away some class time that might have been devoted to rescue and doing stuff like that. Like, even if taking away the fact that a lot of the other students they're competing with are second years, their first year has been interrupted more times than normal.
It is weird, and I didn't even notice it until just now. Shouldn't UA Class 2 be there as well?
They specifically say that they send all their classes to different testing
sites. Oh, yeah, you're right. So. They do. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good point. I kind of forgot about that. Thank you.
Yeah. Same reason 1B isn't there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Class
1B. They're all equally important. They're all the stars.
Class B is hilarious. I can tell you that the manga is going to give them, like, later on, will give them some more time. But as of right now, it's kind of hilarious that they are sort of the joke class because every time they show up, they're getting outside by 1A. But yeah, no, I love this part of the test. I ended up going back and rereading because I was like, what does happen here? And I'm like, all right, all this cool stuff. So...
So other stuff that happens, Cousin It apologizes for Meatball Man.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of nice.
We get a little brief time with him talking with who I'm assuming is his school's instructor or something. And I was like, you realize you're the only one who failed. Also, I think Stain really had an impact on you. Me, impacted by a villain? Never. I know, it's not like I'm saying that's a bad thing. Stain brought up that, you know, what the term hero means has kind of become diluted. Like, even, you know, his methods were obviously wrong, but there might have been some truth there. That's fine. Just the guy's, like, refusing to accept it.
I love that that's his... I don't know who this guy is. He's the teacher for Shiketsu, but he seems woefully out of his depth. Yeah. It's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I definitely made a note to the same effect. We also saw the JoJo-looking motherfucker with the wind powers. Todoroki finally asks him, like, hey, man, what's your deal? Oh, my deal is that I fucking hate you because your eyes look like your father's.
Some daddy issues from someone else's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm... This stuff gets neat. But yeah. I love the wind guy, by the way. I also love the fact that, yeah, he uses his wind and he's got such control that he can focus, like, different currents and different intensities of wind on different objects. So, yeah, he's able to lift all these people up and all this rubble, but it was still irresponsible.
Yeah, they do sort of... address what you had brought up, I think, a couple weeks ago, where you're like, well, then what makes his wind different from psychic?
Yeah, if just he can telekinesis.
If he can just move it with such ease. And they're like, well, there's like a ton of different just wind currents that he is just able to manipulate. So, you know, he can, it's like he has wind hands.
Yeah, it's kind of neat because he's like, everything about him just kind of screams like, I am ready to be a pro hero. But then he gets into this part of the test and it's like, you sure?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's pretty cool.
Someone was pointing out that the reason they could be doing poorly here is that they were getting trained for the rescue op, but that's when the Nomu attacked. In the first season?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was actually when the freaking Nomu attacked.
So, yeah. Oh, my God. So, we have a dedicated point to when they probably would have learned a lot of these lessons. And it got interrupted.
You know, it's. I think it's hilarious, and it's obviously something that I think the show is pushing forward, is that this League of Villains is doing its best to crush the next wave of heroes, and all they're doing is making them better.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, better at fighting the League of Villains anyway.
Yeah.
I do feel kind of bad. I feel like Invisibility Girl has a handicap in this test, because being invisible doesn't exactly help you rescue people, nor will it help you aid people who need people.
She is so out of place here, it's kind of nuts. I don't know how she's passing this test.
Like, I'm real curious, because I assume they are splitting up these teams for, like, kind of what they're going to... the groups they're going to be in for this part of the test, I assume. And Invisible Girl has split off with Todoroki and Sue. Mm. And she is just the clear odd person out there, because Froppy is like, hey, let's go to the river. That's where my frog powers will be extra useful. And Todoroki's like, yeah, sure, I'll go with you. Like, assuming, like, yeah, water, ice, sure, I could probably make something work there. And then Invisible Girl's like, and I'll go too.
Just, I mean,
I guess you're just trying to scoot by. Hope you can just be another pair of fans.
Yeah, I mean, I guess now that Gang Orca's group is in the mix, she can flash them.
That's true. That is a power we've observed that she has.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. She does have her... She doesn't have that, like, yeah. So, by the way, that's an interesting point. So we know how our power works, and they don't tell you it. They just kind of give you an implication via what she can do with her body.
Yeah.
She reflects light. So I think that's really cool. Yeah. Obviously, she does it incredibly well. There's none of that telltale shimmer that you usually get with that sort of technology. So, yeah, she's reflecting light around her, which makes her seem invisible.
I guess she could light dark stuff up like Aoyama was doing with his laser that we saw.
So. She'd have to have a source of light first, but yeah, she could probably do that.
Yeah, what if that's the ultimate combo attack, is Aoyama's naval shoots beam a laser into at her and she just, yeah.
Oh, man, team combos.
Ooh, that's kind of cool.
I want to make my Hero RPG and have team attacks now.
Yeah!
I'm actually kind of about that. Yeah.
Throw that in that upcoming fighting game. Come on.
Yeah.
Team Supers.
So we've also got Gravity Girl. I don't know. How'd you guys take this bit? Because she has a lot of internal monologue about how bad she wants that Deku.
I don't like Ocheko. Yeah. Like, I know that's kind of blasphemy. I know a lot of people out there really like her. And look, she's cute. I like her power. I think she, as a character, is fine. But the conflict that they're giving her is so stock and so boring. Like, her getting jealous and her getting worked up about these things, maybe it's just that I've seen it too often. Maybe I'm just kind of tired of this kind of thing from, like, female characters. And I know she's a teenager. I know this stuff happens. But every other character's got a more interesting conflict. And hers is just...
I feel like, and I'm hoping this is what they were implying, because I've kind of felt the same way about it. It just feels kind of like, it just seems like one of those things that's like, yeah, I guess that would happen, but also feels sort of beneath the status quo of the show as far as like interesting character developments. And in this week's episode, she goes like, I have to put those feelings away because it's getting in the way of what I need to be doing. And she kind of addresses that. She's like, what am I doing? I keep getting all flustered and in my own head about stuff. That needs to stop. I should really focus. I'm hoping that is them basically telling the audience of like, these feelings aren't going away, but she's going to stop being so stupid about it. And yeah. I'm hoping that's where it goes, because I kind of feel along the same lines of like, it's not necessarily like, that would never happen, but it's just more like, I don't really care. Come on. Yeah,
it would just be off the pot. It would just be nice if she had a defining character trait beyond this, which early on they took a lot of care to show like, yeah, she's competent. She's got these powers. Mm-hmm. She can use them. It's cool. And it feels like it's been a while since she had anything else to do but moon over Deku.
Her last real good character moment was in the like in during the tournament where she reveals that she's like, I need to call my parents because I want them to like I want to be successful for them. And that was really cute, and I really liked that, and I thought that was a very good bit of development, and we've never kind of talked to her about it since.
And the dub even loses one of her, like, very surface but still defining traits of the fact that she speaks with an accent when she's talking to her parents.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's
yeah.
Cool. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, no, because she doesn't like to put it on, but she's actually kind of got a southern accent, but, you know, the equivalent of.
Right.
And the dub decided to eschew that because, let's be honest, every time someone tries to do an Osakan accent or an Okinawa accent or whatever, it comes off really forced and awful and terrible. And I'm kind of glad dubs have kind of skewed away from doing that. Sure, you lose a part of the character, but you also don't have people sounding like idiots. But yeah, they didn't have any choice. Like, to you know, again, avoid doing that, but to take a part of Otako away. So that one other small defining feature she had is gone, and she comes off as even more just, okay.
I guess she had the like hand-to-hand combat experience with the one gun dude, and that kind of affected her in the being more proactive in a combat role.
And yeah, that's true. And we've seen her use it, which is good.
Yeah.
But that's just... that's not great for her character. That's just makes her less useless, which good, but not any more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Necessary, but not sufficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a big problem with Ochako here, is that they're just not doing anything. Like, and again, it wouldn't be such a problem if she weren't the love interest.
Counterpoint, however, she wears horseshoes, best girl.
let's talk about her outfit. Her outfit is fantastic. She's got one of the best costumes out of the group, so.
She's only 30 centimeters shorter than Wind Guy, according to the little character breakdown thing during the commercial break. They show their heights, and she's like 160-something, and he's like 190.
Well, I mean, as far as I know, 30 centimeters is like 4 feet. So, no, that checks out.
But yeah, I know I'm a little bit hard on her. And again, I don't dislike her as a character. Again, she's super cute and super fun. And when she has good moments, they're, oh, you know, that's cute and that's sweet. But whenever there's conflict with her, I'm like, and I don't care. That's bad.
I'll do the thing that someone should never do when they're thinking about a media, and I'm going to go ahead and give you my options on what I think they should do.
let's fix this.
Yeah, okay. So they basically... one thing that I think, regardless of like all scenarios, this should happen is she should confront Deku about how she is feeling. She should tell him how she feels, and they can either mutually agree that like, hey, we should set this aside until our learning is done, or just, hey, let's be boyfriend and girlfriend. We both know we both feel this way. Let's just go with it, and it doesn't need to be a, like they're lovey-dovey all the time or something. But like, they can just be a, no, we know we have feelings for each other, but we also understand we have a job to do. And or, like, you know, you can just live with it and, you know, go down that road instead of giving us the will they, won't they for however many seasons.
Or option three, she dates Bakugo.
I mean, I'd also be fine with that. She confronts Deku, and Deku's like, ew, girl's icky. And so now she's like, gotta go with Bakugo or something. That's also fine. Or Ida. He could use a lady's charm. I feel like his revenge quest is because he doesn't have anyone to confide in.
By the way, I do not ship Ochako and Bakugo. I do not 100%.
I ship happy couples. I don't care who it is, so long as they turn out okay.
You know what? Yeah, my personal belief is that if two characters are compatible with each other, like, you know,
they can find a way.
They can find a way. And then again, I hate anime and their single target sexuality that they do sometime. Where like, well, I'm not gay, but that one person, and I'm
that
like, fuck
one
you,
man.
Fuck. You.
Oh, you're just bitter that you're not that for anybody in the office.
Yeah. You know, that's fair. Touché.
He just keeps seeing this fantasy played out in front of him and knows he never gets to taste of the forbidden fruit.
Yeah. But no. But yeah.
That's what it's called when you're attracted to only one gay man, the forbidden fruit.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's not, is she, again, Ochako.
Like I said, I hope her little monologue is them telling the audience, we're going to put this away for a second.
Yeah, it would be like that. That would be fine. Even better than that would be, we're going to put this away for a second and find something else interesting to hang this hair character on, instead of, let's just kind of tuck her away with the third stringers for an arc or three. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would hate for her to just, like, not be a part of this, not when they've spent so much time on her, and they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that said, that's ultimately a minor complaint. I'm still like, hey, guess what? Spoilers, eggplant.
My Hero Academia is still my favorite shonen right now. If we're not counting Promised Neverland, which is currently my favorite, so...
I also really liked it. Got welled up with emotions when Deku had his, like, oh my gosh, the moment that meant so much to me about All Might was him smiling and saying, I'm here. How could I have missed this important part of being a hero? And I was like, oh man, Deku, I feel you. Sometimes it's easy to miss that forest for the trees, buddy. I get it. Good stuff.
By the way, since it's relevant, Chiyo's School Road had a reference to My Hero Academia this week.
Oh, I don't think I caught it.
Yeah, it comes from Comedy Girl when she says, "Watashi ga kita, I have come."
Oh, you know what? I think I did notice that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Irrelevant to you, but still funny because my hero, and I wanted to bring it up sometime, and I might have forgotten in the moment.
No, fair point.
But yeah, no, this I love My Hero Academia. And by the way, I did bring up Promised Neverland. Now I'm not sure if it is a shonen series. It is in Shonen Jump. But it's very different from your average shonen series. It's not a battle show, and it seems not so heavily geared towards boys as it is to everybody. But
like,
guys, read Promised Neverland. It's super good, it's getting an anime
Death
soon.
Death Note was in Shonen Jump, and it's not
yes,
exactly
actually,
a shonen show.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think shonen is actually a broader umbrella than typically when we say it. We mean specifically
battle
shonen
anime.
Fighting, which I think is a smaller subgenre within. I mean, shonen just means aimed at
boys.
Yeah, I mean, Fist of the North Star is shonen too. When you think it's going to be seinen, but nope. But yeah,
is Promised Neverland that one with all the kids in the orphanage thing?
Yes, and that is all you should say.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is spectacular. And I'm bringing that up here because we are talking about a shonen Jump property, and this is another one that is currently doing very well in the magazine. My Hero Academia right now is at 7 on the polls. It was at like 2 and 3 for a while, and then stuff shifted around.
Now, without spoilers or anything, as someone who follows the manga, would you like? Are you like, no, that makes sense? They're kind of in a dry spell, or they've sort of been spinning wheels, or
actually,
like, or are you surprised?
I'm legitimately surprised.
Okay,
I'm not. Again, no spoilers. I don't think the manga's gotten worse. In fact, I would definitely say with the last couple, this last specific art that they did, it took a huge step up for me. I'm like, this is amazing. And now what they're about to do, if they're doing what I think they're doing, I'm like super psyched. I kind of feel like Horikoshi, he saw the ratings and he's like, okay, you know what? I was planning on some of this stuff later. Fuck that. I'm doing it now. And I'm just like, oh man, my balls are exploding.
Not being Scott here, they're heckling up a character.
They're heckling up not just a character, but other characters who are like, oh, hey, I've been waiting for these guys.
No, I mean they're ruining a character.
Oh, what? No.
What? What? They've ruined
nobody.
We'll
talk about this later.
No, you're wrong. He is wrong. No character's been ruined.
There you go.
You're dumb.
Civil War, you heard it here first.
Yep, you thought it was last week, but no, it's right here.
This will be what divides us.
Yep. Guys, come back and see what happens after half of us turn to dust next time. No, that's infinite. Fuck.
Yeah.
I
wrong it war.
Up. Did, when
we,
Tony,
we have to find out who killed our dad.
Yeah.
When we fight for whether or not to emancipate the blacks.
There we
that's
go.
That's it.
Yeah, no, that's the Civil War.
There we go.
Yep.
We did it. See you next time. Bye, everybody.